Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Now, right now, I have a very special person with me who says, over the years, I have dreamed of writing my story so that I could share with the world what God has redeemed from me. I came from a harsh past, and I know my life will inspire those who have lost hope. And she is author Jan Levine. Jan never daydreamed of writing as a profession, but found her childhood story pouring out of her as natural as breathing. Since publishing her memoir, Jan has been watching her hard work, which moved her past the things that once victimized her outlook on life, now inspiring hope. It is her joy and passion to share her journey and the prayer in her heart to encourage hurting people toward personal awareness, ultimately for others to discover freedom from their scars. And her book is titled Scarred, A Journey of Restoration, and it just placed within two categories in the 2016 Human Relations Indie Author Contest. It won the 2016 Inspirational Human Relations Indie Book, the Silver Award, and the 2016 Self-Reflection Memoir Human Relations Indie Book, the Gold Winner. Very proud of that. And if you would like to find out more or contact Jan, you may do so at janlevine.com. And I'm always personally impressed and touched when people choose to share their hurt and their pain in an effort to help others. So it is with great pride that I welcome you to the network, Jan.
Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate you having me.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the time to share you. I think that's extremely important. So let's just dig in. Is this your first book that you've written?
Oh, yeah. It is most definitely my first book.
And before we get into your story, then, why did you decide to write a memoir as your first book?
You know, I never really daydreamed about becoming a writer. I've always loved putting words on paper. I was never excellent at doing so, and if you read my book, you'll understand why. But I just have always enjoyed putting my thoughts on paper. I've always been able to express myself better that way than verbally. Mm-hmm. But I just had this overwhelming desire to just put my story on paper, mm-hmm. because I really felt that my story could really reach a lot of people that are going through what I had gone through. And, when I do something, I tend to do it all the way. So once I was done and people read it and thought that it was book worthy, I decided to publish it.
And I am happy that you did that. There's only so many people you can reach, and a book is a great way to do that. So I'm really pleased that you were able to get those thoughts on paper and for all of us to be able to read. So why don't you, if you don't mind, tell us your journey. I understand that it began at age 4, so tell us what happened.
A lot of people laugh at me. They're like, you remember the age of 4? And I'm like, yeah, I actually do. But unfortunately, I think that I remember such a young age because it was such a impactful moment for me. You know, we tend to remember things that are trauma in our lives. And so at the age of 4, my parents had already separated, and I was living with my mother. And so I don't ruin the whole story for people. You know, I want them to be able to read. But when I came home from school one day, my babysitter wasn't there waiting for me. And so I just decided to walk home or to my babysitter's house. And when I was walking and I noticed my mom's car at home, I got really excited. I don't know if you remember those carefree feelings that you had when you were a child with like no walls, there was nothing that held your feelings back. You know, I was just really excited. My mommy was home. Mm-hmm. And so I started to run home, and when I got inside, my mom was actually heavily coked out, and so they were screaming and yelling, and all kinds of stuff going on, which I, at 4 years old, did not understand. And next thing I knew, she brought me to my babysitter's house. And in my small mind, my child mind, I thought to myself, my mom didn't want me because, you know, when you have strong emotions, you build up expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, you know, it's human nature to kind of recoil, to put a wall up and to become very defensive. And so that's what happened. It really changed my thinking so deeply at the age of 4, thinking that my mom was rejecting me, that it ended up causing this whole life of a lot of struggles based on that rejection. And so I didn't have anybody in my life to really come alongside me in a very healthy way to help nurture me as I aged and got older, to understand that my mom was drugged out and she didn't reject me. You know, I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. I actually had a continuation of a lot of dysfunction that would happen to me from both my mom and my father.
So you still resided with your mom?
No, actually. After that incident, my mom and my father, I don't know how it was decided, but I was immediately sent to live with my father. And so my dad, my brother, and I all lived in a one-bedroom apartment. And, so I was sent to live with my dad.
And then you found trouble on your own, yes?
Oh, boy, did I find trouble on my own.
Give us a little sketch of that, just so we get an idea of what some of your past was like.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So around the age of 12, I just, I started to get really angry. And, you know, young teenagers and anger don't go well together. And so that set me down a path where I ended up running away from home by the time I was 14. So I, just like most young people who go out on their own, ended up in everything and anything. I praise God every day that I didn't get kidnapped. Because I could have, because I was running in every and any circle that could have led to things being a lot worse for me. But, you know, I would say from the age of 14 to 18, I started doing heavy drugs. I was barely attending school. I ended up dropping out. I got into gangs. I was fighting everybody and anyone. Just a really troubled child. I mean, I was just out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I read that your faith, though, was part of your healing process. So take us back to that age when you purchased a Bible and you turned to Psalm 118:8, and you read, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Tell us about that and how that helped you.
That didn't happen until I was 31 years old.
Oh my, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I lived, you know, in my harsh reality for a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, after my youth, you know, it led into becoming a stripper and going down that path, you know. But when I was 31 years old and I came to faith and I read that verse that day, which was the day I actually went to a non-denominational church in Fort Lauderdale and accepted Jesus, when I went home and I started, you know, reading the scripture, really, my life just started to transform before me. I can't say that, you know, everything became rainbows and butterflies. That's so not reality. But I started to feel a sense of freedom from the things that were holding me back. Like, you know, when we live in, you know, a certain mentality, you know, your whole entire life, you know, my whole entire life up until that point, I saw the world through what I call, like, my victim mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was out to get me, you know? Yeah. You couldn't trust anybody because, like I had mentioned before, you know, my life was really based off of that rejection I felt at the age of four. And so I couldn't trust anybody in my life. And it's a really odd thing how, you know, when you feel or you base your life off of rejection, how all of a sudden you start creating rejection in your life. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that self-fulfilled prophecy kind of thinking
happens.
And so when I came to faith, it was like those glasses came off. Like, I realized, wait a minute, I don't need to see the world through victim glasses. You know, I can, there's actually another way that I could look at life. Now, at that time, I didn't necessarily fully understand that, but I started to have a glimpse of hope towards a different way of viewing and dealing and experiencing life.
So what physical things, what concrete things did you do after you read this and you started to have these glimpses? What did you start to do then to really turn yourself around?
Well, I left South Florida. I left my career, sold my little condo, and I moved to North Carolina because I thought to myself, "Oh, they believe in God. They're the Bible Belt. You know, that's probably a good safe place for me to go and start learning." So I moved there. I chuckle because, you know, it's just the innocence of a new believer who has no idea what she's doing. And so I moved to North Carolina, and I put myself into a biblical counseling program at a seminary, a Southern Baptist seminary, specifically in Wake Forest. And I devoured these biblical counseling books, and I started to go to therapy myself, and I just started to really dig deep into my life and into my heart, you know, and really analyzing the way that I view life and people and things. And I think the most important thing to point out is that I was finally sober. Okay. Up until the age of 31, I really, outside of going to work, I loved being high because I didn't really feel comfortable both feeling my emotions or engaging people. Mm-hmm. But after I came to faith and moved away, you know, and I was sober, I really felt like I had emotional food poisoning because, like, everything started coming up for me. But I had put myself in a community where I could actually safely start working on those things that were coming up. You know, it wasn't like I sat in isolation by myself and these things coming up where I didn't know how to deal with them. I was within a safe community.
Well, now you wrote, even though you say you were in a safe community, you wrote, and maybe this was prior to this time, but you wrote, "Surprisingly, I found more comfort in being solitary than being around others." Maybe share what that means to you.
Sure. Right. So, yes, I was in a safe community, you know, where I could work on those things. But, you know, everything's a process. You know, everything takes time. You don't, you know, come to an awareness and go, "I'm healed." You know, you have to be willing to do the work and get, you know, comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so I was extremely uncomfortable for many years when I first came to faith, you know, because, one, I was sober, and so I was having to experience the things that I was used to suppressing. And so I didn't have a lot of really close friends. So My comparison would be before coming to faith, my life in South Florida, I was party girl one, you know, mm-hmm. number one. I had so many people constantly in my life. My phone never stopped ringing. But after coming to faith, that completely changed. And so I did. I found more solace being by myself with God and just really just praying and thinking and writing and just, you know, working through the things that I had never allowed myself to, you know, work through. Because normally when you go through something, the healthy thing to do is you go through it. Whereas for me, up until the age of 31, when I went through something, I just suppressed it. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on.
And that's a lot of years to keep something bottled up, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's many people who do that, you know.
Well, once you decided to pop the top off of that bottle and to get it out there, and you decided to write this memoir, was it difficult for you to go back to your past and relive it in order to put it on paper?
I wouldn't say so. You would think it would have been, mm-hmm. but, you know, I wrote it after, you know, at least 7 years of therapy and really just digging, that when I finally did sit down and write it, it just flowed out of me. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there were certain chapters that would take a lot longer than others. Some chapters I wrote in a weekend. Other chapters just took 4 months because I would be writing, and then all of a sudden I would go, okay, I'm tired. I can't anymore.
I understand that was probably an extremely cathartic process for you. Did you learn anything new about yourself during the writing process?
Absolutely. I'm still learning new things about myself. you know, the editing process, I think, was so tremendous because, you know, when I would get my manuscript back with notes, you know, I had a couple editors, but the first one really did a great job at just asking me questions. You know, does this really glorify God? Is this really necessary to get your point across? And so just, you know, being able to take in those questions and go, huh,
yes.
Why am I mentioning this?
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, maybe I still need to work on this. Maybe, you know, this is something that I need to dig deeper. And through that process, I feel that I definitely grew so much more. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No, I felt that was probably the case. And a good editor can do that for you, too.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So as you were writing this, were you writing it for readers? Were you writing it for yourself? What were your goals and thoughts?
Yes, as I wrote it, I just felt like, okay, I'm writing this story because there is definitely somebody out there that, you know, God is going to use this story to touch their life and help them have that breakthrough, you know, to break their own glasses of victimness. You know, even if you are victimized, you know, to be able to break those glasses and realize how loved they are and how cherished they are as, you know, a human being, and how much hope that they could tap into and how much healing there is to be had. Mm-hmm. And so really, my story is written to that one person out there that needs to hear it.
So it really is a book of hope.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, I never saw myself as an inspirational writer, but I know what I have overcome. I mean, I can't even go back to Florida to visit without people always having to say to me, Jan, you didn't make a 360 change. You made a 360 to the nth degree change. And so, I mean, the transformation in my life is so apparent to everyone that knows me that I, how could I not go and share what I've overcome?
Right.
Because if I can make that much of a change, I know that there's another person out there that can change too. They just need to hear hope.
Right, right. And you are surely supplying that. And I'm so thankful that you were able to do that. So have you heard from your readers and what has been the response? I know you won the awards. We'll talk about that. But just from random readers, people you don't know, have you heard back?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a famous person, so obviously my book is not reaching the masses yet. However, you know, the people that have read it that I don't know, I think that the one situation that really inspired or encouraged me in return was this woman who, she's in her 60s, and she came up to me because I went to go speak to a women's group, and she said to me, you know, for the first time in her life that she feels like she can access freedom from her depression. You know, she as a child was in the foster system. She's a cancer survivor. Just really has had a very hard life, and she's been battling depression for most of it. And when she said that, like, tears just started flowing from my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, like, my story was able to do that for her. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That was probably the one story that shocked me the most.
And you know what, Jan, that's enough. If that's the only person you ever touch with this book, you're done.
That was exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm.
That was exactly what I said to my friend. I'm like, if I wrote this book just for her,
yep.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
I get that. I really understand that. And now you've received, I mean, this book came out in 2016 and you've already received two awards. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a woman by the name of Susan Peterson who's out in Nevada. And she organizes a indie book award contest for people who write on human relations. And so she reached out, and I submitted my book within two categories. One was the inspirational category, and the second was the memoir category. And I just learned a couple weeks ago that I placed, and I was just really excited. I mean, I know that I only receive certificates, but I mean, that's just really encouraging, because it's one thing for, you know, all your friends to come around you and be like, this is amazing, but then to be recognized by people outside of your circle that know nothing of you other than what they read. And especially as someone who never visioned herself as being able to publish a book worth reading. So it was extreme encouragement.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, why did you decide to title the book Scarred, A Journey of Restoration?
That's a great question. As I was thinking through different titles, it just dawned on me that, you know, my past are scars, because, you know, just like anybody, you know, we engage the world through our experiences. And so the best way for me to visualize that was by calling it a scar. You know, everything that I had experienced that influenced me or happened, that's just the best analogy I could come up with. And, you know, just like any scar that we get, sometimes they heal and you don't even, you look in the spot and you can't even notice that they were there. And sometimes there's a little remnant of it. And sometimes it's like, okay, that's there. That's a scar for life.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like that for the things that I went through. You know, there's things that happen in my life where, you know, I get stimulated and it triggers an emotion or feeling or thought, you know, from my past. And I have to go, okay, calm down, take a deep breath. And I have to, you know, implement the tools that I've learned and how to cope with what I'm going through.
Right.
So I don't react, but, there's other things that stimulate me and it just rolls right off me, rolls off like a water on a duck, you know? So yeah, that's how I came up with SCARD. And, you know, it's a journey of restoration. You know, all of our lives are a journey and, we have a choice. We have real valid choices. You know, we can either choose to go through the process of healing, or we can choose to live with our victim viewpoint. And so I chose the path of healing. And so I feel that I've been restored, even though there may be scars on me or in me. I have been restored. I am a new creation. Everything about me is new.
Oh, I love that. That's a great explanation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love the cover with the heart. The young lady who put that together, she didn't really know me that well, but she sat down and read the book, and that's what she came up with. There's this stitching of a heart put back together.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about the cover, how that came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that it's sewn into fabric. Yep. You know, the fabric is holding the heart together. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, a deep visualization, you know, I picture the fabric God, you know, mm-hmm. having stitched my heart back mm-hmm. together, and he holds it. And it's not perfect. You know, it still has fragments of brokenness. But he's holding it together, and because of that, I am whole, and I am healed. So,
you are a beautiful person.
Aw, thank you so much.
No, I really mean that. After talking with you, I just want to give you a hug.
I want you to give me a hug.
Well, consider it done.
Okay.
So tell us, what is next for you?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've been praying so much about that, and I'm just really open and hopeful that I'll continue to get speaking opportunities with women and men if they want to listen to me banter too. You know, I just really pray that I get to get out there and just really come alongside people and just help them where they're at, mm-hmm. if they want the help. So
right, they may not always be ready for it, but at least you're out there and we're putting this out there. So so when they're ready, you are available. Well, now, is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
If I was to add anything else, it would just be, you know, to encourage the listeners that no matter what they've been through, that there's always room for hope, and you know, it just takes a little tiny ounce of it to blossom.
Well, that's a great place to go to give people hope and inspiration. And I'm assuming they can learn all about this at your website and other places. So why don't you share with us where folks can go to learn more about you and where they can purchase your book?
Sure. I have just a very minimalist website, janlevine.com. And if anybody would like to purchase my book, it's available both in soft copy or Kindle at amazon.com. And I think you can get it through other means like Barnes & Noble online, but not in the store yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we can go to janlevine.com. Or go to Amazon, and the title of the book again is titled Scarred, A Journey of Restoration. Jan, I almost have no words for our time together. I just so appreciate you and all that you've had to go through to become the beautiful person that you are today, and the fact that you took the time and cared enough to share with others. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Pat. Thank you for having me.